tackle the subject, or that you would lead us one more week in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to show you a video. It captures perfectly the awkwardness of the very, remember last week, the first thing I told you was one of the lies the world wants to tell you is that sex is limited to going all the way, and that's a lie, and there's so many other pieces to it, and this video perfectly captures the first steps that lead towards sexual sin, okay? I'm not telling you that what you're about to watch is a terrible, awful thing. It is terrible and awful just because of how uncomfortable it is, but this perfectly captures the awkwardness of those first steps. Watch this video and enjoy it.
Where are we going?
Are you okay? Wait here.
I'm surprised there wasn't like cheesecake desserts and ice cream.
I know. I mean, I know what family you come from.
Ice cream is like the generic dessert.
Oh, it's pretty exotic where I am.
I hope you like chocolate peanut butter, Nicole, because it's all we had. Phil?
Yeah, Mom?
You two up in the treehouse?
Yeah.
You two be careful up there.
Oh, we will.
I'm setting your ice cream on the steps. Better hurry, it's melting.
I like melted ice cream.
Oh, yeah, me too. It's my favorite kind.
Phil?
We'll be right there, Mom.
It's melting.
Was a minute and 40 of a 4-minute video that I was tempted to show you all 4 minutes of it. It just gets worse and worse as those people begin to explore different aspects of each other's company up in that treehouse. But that is a moment right there that at some point in your lives, probably the odds are pretty good that if you haven't already, you're going to have a moment like that. Girls with a guy, might not be in a treehouse, might be on a couch, on a park bench. Yeah, park bench. I'm just using examples from my own life. Sorry. I'm a grown up. But at some point, might be on your front step after a date. Guys, you with a lady. At some point, you're going to, you know, you might not feel that now. I've talked to a lot of the small group leaders in here, and some of the girls are like, boys are gross, and we're never going to like them, and they're pretty sure that that's how they're going to stay, and some of the guys are clueless. But at some point, all right, as you guys grow and mature, girls, there's going to be a boy that's not as gross as the other boys. He's still going to be gross, but he'll be not as gross. And guys, there's going to be a girl that's going to accept your grossness for a short time. And you're going to like each other. And you're going to get in a situation where you're alone, maybe not quite alone. Maybe mom's right in the next room like she was in this video, or dad's right in the next room. Little brother, little sister there. But you're going to get in a situation where you're alone and you're going to be faced with these emotions and these feelings. Now, that, you look at that and you go, that was awkward. I don't want to do that. But like when you watched A Little Mermaid and, you know, they're in the boat and they're spinning around with the fish, you want a piece of that, you know? You're like, sha-la-la-la-la-la. And you're like, yes. I've showed that in here before, so that's why I didn't today. But at some point, you are going to be interested and a member of the opposite sex, and they're going to be interested in you, and there are going to be emotions there, and it's going to be really fun. There's going to be friendship there, and it's going to be cool to have somebody to talk to and I am with. And then there's going to be this physical attraction there, all right? And you're going to have this magnetism to that other person, and your lips are going to be like, and their lips are going to look really good and better than any like bonbon of ice cream chocolate. And you're going to want to... That's going to happen, all right? It's going to happen to everybody. Your heart's going to be beating in your stomach and you're going to feel like you're going to throw up, but you don't want to throw up because you're about to try to kiss somebody. And you're going to be there. And what I want to tell you is even that innocent, and that wasn't so innocent. It got uninnocent there in a second. But even the innocence of a first kiss or the first time you're in the movies next to someone you like and your hands brush against each other and you're like, oh, and like a shock goes, and you're like, yeah. And then maybe you even accidentally hold hands. One time I held pinkies. But like a chicken? We're going to have to talk afterwards because I can still take you. Anyways, you're gonna feel like those emotions, okay? And the innocence of that, I want to tell you that is things like that, like holding hands in the movies and the first little peck. Those are innocent things, okay? But I'll tell you, those innocent things are the beginning of something that is not very innocent, okay? Because any sort of physical interaction between guys and girls where there's touching and kissing and you know, holding, cuddling, all those things are the beginning steps. They're moving towards deeper and deeper physical relationships that eventually leads to what we've been talking about the last 3 weeks. It doesn't have to lead to it, but it's part of the sexual relationship that God made for a man and a woman, and he made for marriage, and he made for intimacy and reproduction, and he made it to teach us even about Jesus Christ in the church. 2 weeks ago, we talked about what God was thinking when he made sex. Last week, we talked about, okay, here's the deal. God made it for these purposes, but here's what went wrong with it. The world's telling us all these lies. And this week, we're going to talk about what do you do with that information? Because here's the deal. As a junior higher, 6th, 7th, or 8th graders, here's the thing. You guys may be having to worry about this and deal with this right now, but for most of you, it might be a couple years before you have to worry about this and deal with it. And hopefully, it'll be a long time if you decide, I want God's purposes for sex, not the world's purposes for sex. If you decide you want God's purposes, you're going to have to wait a long time for those purposes to be fulfilled, meaning until you're married, maybe until you're in your 20s or 30s. So in this time when you're having to wait until you can do the things that God has planned and designed for us, what do you do with all those feelings and those emotions and those desires, which are really fun and really cool and really exciting and really, really powerful? What do you do with that? I'm going to tell you 5 things you can do with that today. This is what you can do. And so if you're not feeling that today, just mark my words, you will soon. You're going to find, girls, a boy that you want to be in a treehouse with. And boys, you're going to find a girl you want to be in a treehouse with. What do you do with those feelings, okay? And here we go. You ready? 5 things. If you have your outlines, get them out. And if you want to take an outline home with you, this will be online tomorrow. You can fill it out listening to it on the internet. But you got to know these 5 things. This is probably the most important thing I'm going to tell you out of these last 3 weeks. The first thing is this. You, as an individual, you are responsible. You have to know your Bible and you have to know your standards. You have to know your Bible and you have to know your standards. When I say know your Bible, I mean, know what God's plan, what God's purpose, what God's standards are for sex. Now, we talked about this the last 2 weeks. I'm not going to go over everything we talked about again, but I've shared with you a lot. Not everything, because there's a lot that the Bible has to say about this topic, but I told you a lot about it. And so you need to figure out on your own. You need to go back and listen to the last 2 weeks' messages. You need to look up the verses that are on the outline that I put up on the internet. You need to figure out, hang on, what does the Bible say about this, and what are my standards? And you need to do that ahead of time. Listen to me, folks. Look at the stage and look at me. Don't wait until you're in a treehouse to make up what your standards are and decide. Decide now. Know your Bible and know your standards. You've got to do that. You need to write them down. So if you don't do it this afternoon, this is your homework assignment this week. I don't ever give you homework in J. Crew, but today I do. You've got to write down, here's what I believe God's standards are for me, and I'm going to take these as my own. These are my standards. I'm going to know them. I'm going to know my Bible. And I want you to write down some Bible verses that will remind you of your standards. Because when you get in the situation, there's going to be a big temptation to do what the rest of the world does, which is make up their own standards and not depend on God's plan and God's purpose. So you need to figure out what the Bible says and go, I'm going to stick to it no matter what, and I'm not going to make up my own standards when I get in the situation. The second thing you can do while you're waiting with all these feelings and emotions is you take some time and tell others about your standards. You need to tell your parents for sure. And I think you should tell your small group leader and maybe even the other people in your small group and maybe even the whole world. Where's Amanda Riddle? Let me see, you got your little ring on, or you're not even wearing it, okay? Amanda's got this ring though, right? It's in her purse. She's got a ring that when she wears it, it tells the whole world that she's saving herself until she's married. Who else has one of those rings? Anybody else have? Okay, hold them up. See it? It's on the same finger that I have my wedding ring on. Some of these girls have these rings, and what do you call it? Do you call it a purity ring? Or okay, they call it a purity ring, and what they say is, hey, I'm going to stay sexually pure until I marry a husband that replaces this purity ring with a wedding ring. And so they're not only telling their parents and their small group leaders and their close friends, they're telling the whole world, here's my standards and here's what my Bible says. They're telling others. And what that does is that's a form of accountability for these girls. You see, when a guy asks one of these girls on a date, they're gonna go, what's that ring? Well, that's my purity ring. Here are my standards. You know who else you need to tell? Anybody that you date. If someone asks you on a date, or if you're going to ask a girl on a date, say, hey, I want to go out with you, but here's what I want you to know. We might feel some emotions together, we might have some fun together, but here are my standards, and here's what the Bible says, and I'm going to stick by it. And before we even go out, I want you to know where I stand. And if you don't agree with that, or you're not cool with that, then we probably shouldn't go out. And girls, you need to tell guys your standards. They should not ask you on a date, or take you on a date, or go out with you until they know this. So first of all, you gotta know your Bible and know your standards. Second of all, you gotta tell others your standards, okay? Now listen to this one. This is the third thing you can do. While you're waiting until you're old enough to have God's plan fulfilled for you, you have to flee from any and all sexual immorality. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, flee from sexual immorality. There it is. Just clear as day. All other sins a man commits are outside of his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. That's a rough one. Look at what Joseph did. This is a great story from Genesis chapter 39. These are just verses 11 and 12. Basically, if you remember the story of Joseph, his brother sold him into slavery. And Joseph went to Egypt as a slave and he spent some years in prison. Well, then he worked his way out of prison and he was a servant for this guy named Potiphar. And it ended up that he was like one of the top guys in the Egyptian government because he was such good buds with Potiphar and he was such a good servant. Well, Potiphar's wife had the hots for Joseph, okay? And so watch what happened. One day, Joseph went into the house to attend to his duties and none of the household servants were inside. And so Potiphar's wife caught him by his cloak. Okay, she grabbed him and she said, come to bed with me. Do you know what Joseph did? It says he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. It was like a chick's grabbing my shirt right here and I'm like, see ya, and I slip out of it and I'm running. He fled from any and all sexual immorality. Nobody would have known, no one was home, but he fled and he ran away. He ran away from a hint, remember last week, even a hint of sexual immorality. Flee from it. You need to spend your time. Guys, you know how you flee from sexual immorality? We talked last week about how even looking at a woman lustfully, God considers adultery. You need to talk to your parents and you need to get filters put on your internet at your house. You need to get monitors put on there if you don't already have them. You need to flee from the temptation of stuff popping up and you seeing junk on the internet. You need to flee from it when choosing the girls that you date. Don't date a girl that doesn't believe in God's standards and it doesn't stand up for God's standards. Don't date a girl that doesn't know Christ. because it's going to put you in a tempting situation. Flee, run from it. Don't, guys, girls, don't go in the treehouse. That is stupid. Don't ever, listen, this is really simple. This is just common wisdom, okay? Guys and girls, if you're dating, and let me tell you, this was a standard for me and Allie when we were dating and we were 25 years old and we were going out, okay? When we were dating, don't ever be alone somewhere together where other people don't know where you are or what you're doing. There were a few times Allie and I were alone at her apartment or alone at my house. You know what I did before we walked in the door? I called Bron, who's my boss and one of my good friends, and I told him, hey, we're going in Allie's house. We're going to be there for 30 minutes. We're waiting for somebody to come pick us up. We're going to be alone. And I want you to know about it and ask me about it tomorrow. Because I know if we're ever alone, we're going to be in a tempting situation. Don't ever be in the dark alone. It's not a good idea for a date to go to a house where there aren't parents there and turn on a movie in the dark on the couch. That leads to bad stuff. Don't ever, ever lay down with someone you're dating. Stupid. Okay? You guys need to know this stuff, though. And that's how you flee from it, is you set those as your standards. You go, I'm going to stay as far away from this immorality as I can. I'm not going to put myself in a situation where I'm alone in the dark, laying down, cuddling like those people in that treehouse. I'm going to run from it like Joseph ran from Potiphar's wife. Spend your time figuring out what the Bible says, what your standards are. Tell other people your standards. Flee from sexual immorality. Fourth, I want you to look at this. You need to wait on relationships until you're ready to pursue God's full plan. This is probably the thing that you're going to like the least that I say this morning. My recommendation, I don't think it is, the Bible doesn't spell it out clearly where I can sit there and say, hey, this is from God. This is David Peniel's recommendation, so don't take this as a mandate from the Bible. But listen, my recommendation is, what this person said in the book called Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, by the way, is a book that's basically all about the courtship and the engagement and the marriage of this couple, and it really dives into their physical relationship, and it's pretty crazy how detailed it gets. I don't recommend going home and flipping through that one and reading it yet until you're a little bit older. But part of it that I want you to see is Song of Solomon 2:7, 3:5, and 8:4. Three verses say the exact same thing. And this lady was saying to her friends, she says, I charge you, I strongly recommend to you, do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires. Meaning, she was saying, don't get your hearts all excited and emotionally involved and pumped up about another person. Don't get so connected emotionally and attracted to another person until the time is right, until you can fulfill that emotion, until you're ready to marry that person and get engaged and live the rest of your life with them. Don't arouse or awaken love until it so desires. Don't get all excited about someone else unless you're ready to follow up with it, folks. So my recommendation for you is to know your standards. Remember I told you that. To tell other people about them. To flee from sexual immorality. And then you just got to wait. And that's the hardest thing I could tell you guys today. Is you just got to, I think you should wait on relationships until you're really ready to fully pursue God's plan. And that's going to be a really hard thing in today's culture and society. But I know some people that are doing it, and it has served them well. I'll tell you this. I tried to do it. I tried to wait and for relationships. I waited until I was 17. And I'm just talking about going out with somebody. I'm not talking about sex right now, okay? But when I was 17, I felt like I had to date somebody before I went to college. Otherwise, I'd be ignorant going into college. So I dated this girl named Keisha that I didn't even really like. And it lasted 3 weeks, and it was a disaster. I broke up with her in a note, and I still feel like an idiot today. That's a whole nother story. But then I waited from that point on. I was like, that was stupid. And I waited until I thought I was ready for a real relationship that could lead to marriage before I started dating someone else. I really started liking a girl my freshman year, and I waited till my junior year to start dating her. That ended up breaking my heart, and it didn't work out. But the point of that story was that I did my best, and I know you can do it, to wait until the time is right when you can start to move towards something that will last. Don't just play around with this stuff because it's really dangerous. The book of Proverbs, I don't have this verse, but it calls these physical relationships between guys and girls like coals from a fire. And the proverb says, can a man scoop coals into his lap and not get burned? No. I'll tell you what, these physical relationships can create some really fiery situations. And you can get burned. Your heart can get burned. Your life can get burned if you engage in them too when it's not the right time. So you got to wait for the right timing. All right? How do you know what the right timing is? Ask your parents, ask your mentors, your small group leaders, your friends that love God, if they think it's the right time. And don't just ask one person, ask 20, and ask them all at once and see if they all agree. Don't just look for the advice that you want. Okay? Know your standards. Tell other people your standards. Flee. Run away from sexual immorality. Wait until you're ready to get in these relationships. And lastly, spend some time preparing for your future role. Okay? Prepare for your future role. Someday, ladies, God willing, you're going to be wives. And someday, guys, God willing, you're going to be husbands. And you can spend the next 20 years of your life, or however long it is, 10 would be okay. You can spend that time preparing for your future role. Because let me just tell you, as a husband, it's not easy. What God calls me to do is, listen to what this verse says from Ephesians 5. It says, as the church submits to Christ, wives should submit to their husbands. And for husbands, this means that I should love my wife just like Christ loved the church and gave up his life for her. So loving my wife, Allie, is giving up my whole life for her. I serve her every day. And I'm used to, for the rest of my life, serving myself only. But then when I married her, all of a sudden my life's all about serving her and her life's about serving me. But you know what? We both prepared for those roles. You know what I did? I took this job. I worked at Pine Cove in the summers and I learned how to serve other people. And I practiced that. So when I got married, it's still hard, but I had some practice going into it and I knew what it means to serve another person. So while you're waiting for this, you know, for girls, your knight in shining armor to come, and guys, while you're waiting for the time when you're strong enough to ride that horse up to the castle and rescue the princess or whatever it is, whatever picture you want to use, until you're waiting for that day, spend some time getting ready for it. Learn how to serve other people. Practice serving your friends right now. Practice serving your family right now. Ask God, God, right now, begin shaping me into the kind of person that's going to be a good husband and a good father. Start shaping me, Lord, now into the type of person that's going to be a good wife and a good mother. And start preparing for your future role. It's not too early. And then you wait for the time is right and see what God wants to do in your life. You guys get what you can do in this time? I know it might not be a powerful thing happening in your life right now, but it's going to be soon. And I want you guys to be ready for it. You guys are going to get to kind of talk through some of this stuff in your small group this week. One of the questions is, hey, do you agree or disagree with some of the things David said? And I want you guys to think about it. Do I agree with this? Do I really believe this? Do I buy into this? Do I want to do this thing? And leaders, you guys just talk as appropriate for your group and let me know if there's any questions. I love you guys. I really do. That's why I talk to you about this stuff. I know how much damage this can cause in a person's life if you don't have a handle on this. It's because I really care about you. I want you to know this stuff. And it's awkward for me to talk about. And, you know, it's not the funnest topic, but I want you to understand it. Okay? Well, let me pray for you guys, and then we'll get you out of here. Lord, I thank you for the way that you created us. I thank you that you made us male and female, and for that reason a man shall leave his father and mother and become united with his wife, and the two become one flesh. And I thank you that that's a profound mystery that represents the relationship between your son Jesus Christ and us, the church. And I thank you for the power of the love that a man feels for a woman and a woman feels for a man, and how that can teach us about the power of your love for us. God, I pray that we would not abuse your plan for this thing called sex in any way. I pray that you would protect these students, that you'd give them wisdom. I pray that they would all take the time to figure out what their standards are. Would you remind them, Lord? I pray that they would look in your word for truth, and I pray that they would share their standards with others who would hold them accountable and encourage them and support them and affirm them. I thank you for girls like Amanda and the others who are already standing up and telling the world what their standards are. And I pray that you would encourage them and protect them and preserve them. I pray that there would be others like them that would follow in their footsteps. I pray for the young men in this room. They would be godly men after your own heart, that would represent you well and treat women well the way you would have them treated. Lord, we need you in this because we're so prone to wander and stray away from your plan. Would you help us and protect us and guide us? In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, stack your chairs and head on out of here. I think it's time to go.